Actually, two people are taking Roger's place. One has to do the phones, and the other is sitting in to provide the liberal side of things.
Yes.
Such as it is. Carolyn Binder is his man in the phones, and will interject here and there and everywhere.
Looking way better than Roger, I must add.
I'm hip. I'm yeah.
Here, here.
I'm yeah, okay. Yeah, I got to agree with that 100%, yeah. Yeah.
I would say I do my best, but it's not a very hard thing to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ooh.
You're welcome.
Ouch.
Thank you.
Ooh. And with us filling in for Roger, and seriously, Roger is actually busy today. He is on the Zoning Board of Appeals for Oshawa Township, and they have business today.
And they do good work.
And they do good work. They do. Sitting in for Roger today is the chairman of the Kalamazoo County Democratic Party and a guest here a few times.
A few times.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back.
Absolutely.
It's fun. It is. We have a full range of topics, including talking about the local road project. Good news tonight. So we'll talk with Nick Sharippa in just a minute. In the meantime, you can get a hold of us at 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. And those who want to throw snark or smarm our way can do so via the texting lines 80373. Are we ready to start the show?
Sure are.
All right, here we go. Of the Western Michigan University Marching Band.
We love Western.
Yes,
Row the boat.
Somebody needs to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
As I'm retweeting myself as
doesn't that hurt?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Dave actually has breaking news. Deal with this. Our guest host has breaking news.
According to my sources in the Senate Democratic Caucus in Lansing, the Republicans have called for a recess and the Senate is back in recess. Temporarily, I don't know. It could be minutes. Weeks,
we don't
hours,
know.
Who knows?
Okay. Well, we'll hopefully have more on that. That would be nice.
Yes. As we anticipate the big vote.
Well, we have some good news via Nick Sharippa from MDOT.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Oh, hi. How are you?
It's a long time. I haven't talked to you in so long, man.
It feels like yours.
Yeah.
It feels like yours. I'm going to tell you what.
I don't know if either one of you know this. Nick is a former student of mine.
Ah.
I was a wonderful student.
He was. And I don't even have to lie about that.
Nick, I would have apologized when I just called you. I'm really sorry.
Carolyn, it's okay. Jim, I assume then you got the envelope.
I did.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, indeed. Hey, Nick, we got good news about the M43-131 project.
We do have good news.
And pray tell, what might that be?
Oh, that's my cue. Okay.
Your cue there, yeah.
Well, we just moved into the second phase of the project. So the northbound US 131 to westbound M43 ramp is reopened.
So that means if I'm driving northbound on 131, I can go to South Haven now.
If you're coming from Portage to Kalamazoo and getting off at West Main to go over to Meyer, South Haven, yes, you will be able to make that left turn.
Wow. Okay, so tell me, when am I going to be able to go off of westbound 43 or West Main onto southbound 131?
When we say you can. We are looking...
Wait.
We will say...
No.
That's a great answer.
That is, actually. But...
And we will say you can. We're looking at a November 1 completion, so that ramp will stay closed for the rest of the project, and again, around November 1st.
How far along are they now? Because I know you mean they're shifting lanes and everything else, and,
yep.
You know, people are being very good about getting in and out of there, I have to tell you.
They really are. You know, I have to commend everyone who's driven through there. I will say most everyone. We don't want to be too forgiving here. But the motorists have been very forgiving and have been great. The crews have been working their tails off. I'm going to say we're about two-fifths of the way through. Normally I'd say half, but we finished half the bridge, doing the other half of the bridge. But this is also the phase where we add that sidewalk, that pedestrian mm-hmm. bridge off the side. So there's one little facet. So we're about two-fifths of the way through it.
Cool. I'm really happy. Can I put in a request?
I wish you
please.
Would.
Please. Okay. Exit 81, right? Sprinkle Road, or it's the business loop?
Sure.
Okay. let's shift over to the other lane because I'm losing my mind here. So exit 80 is Sprinkle Road.
Yeah.
So the first bridge you get to, you go is under Sprinkle, and then the second one is Cork Street.
That is all
true. And then
true.
The third one is Miller Road.
Yes.
There is a third one, and it's not marked, but I am telling you the right lane of eastbound 94 in there is enough to shake your fillings loose. As a matter of fact, I move over and drive in the left-hand lane so that I got shocks left. It's
They're
unreal.
Redoing that next year.
Are they? Okay, never mind.
I don't know. He would know.
I appreciate it. See, he answered. Dave's answering my question. I'm good. I'm good.
We're taking care of it.
I don't know how you guys do it with all of the traffic that's been out there, and we've had
great
a pretty
job.
Good summer.
We're doing a great job.
You guys are really doing a great job. Are there any? Are there any other projects in the area that are coming close to completion?
The U.S. 131 Constantine Bypass.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That also we're looking at a November completion. So
that one's been a long time coming.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could tell you I knew what was going on, the history of that, but it predates me by a good 45 years.
Oh, yeah, at least. 1964.
Carolyn's got her hand up, and she's about to explode over
well,
here.
No, I'm fine. I'm doing the Roger. I've had a couple of calls, and actually I had this question, and well, okay. We've got Nick on the horn anyway. You're talking about the M43 to southbound 131,
yeah.
And can you explain what the process is, the actual process for getting onto the new, you know, 131 South? Because there's people that go to the next light, do a U-turn, and then the people on 10th Street that live and, you know, are supposed to be, they're doing, you know, an illegal U-turn.
Well,
but can you explain the real process? Because it frustrates me, too, because I live right down the street. And
sure. Now, going to 10th Street, turning left, turning around the neighborhood, then coming back out is perfectly legal. I want to point that out. I say that because I forgot the first day, too.
We all did.
We are trying to help people get on southbound 131 by detouring them. Either just keep going past 131, catch 9th Street, go down to Stadium, and then head back to 131 that way. Or if you know in advance, take Drake Road down the stadium.
That's what I do.
Drake or 9th.
Yeah, that stadium drive southbound ramp, or stadium drive ramp to southbound 131 is where we've been detouring people, either 9th Street or Drake Road to get there, whatever's more convenient. That's what we've been telling people. That's our posted detour, if you will. And early on in construction, the first week, which is not unusual at all for the first week, people just go off the map. We had a lot of people trying to make that left-hand turn around the end of the cone.
Ooh,
that was a huge concern. So, unfortunately, there were no U-turn signs there, so it was still technically legal. So we had to put up some no U-turn signs, and we got a lot of help from the law enforcement community. We had a couple officers and deputies out there at different times who were helping enforce that no U-turn policy, mostly just for safety, because that's a terribly unsafe move to make.
Sure.
Absolutely.
That doesn't stop people, though, Nick.
No, really doesn't.
You know?
Well, sheriff deputy will, though.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. Sheriff's deputies stop people frequently. The other issue we had was on northbound 131, people would either, you know, they'd get to the ramp, the northbound to westbound ramp, and see it was closed and not know what to do, so they'd go just past M43 and catch that maintenance crossover.
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of people doing that, too.
Yeah, well, that stopped quite quickly because the Michigan State Police had a field day.
Oh, I bet
they did.
The number I've heard, this is anecdotal and unconfirmed, but I heard that they tagged in 1 8-hour shift more than 50 people.
Wow, they could buy a new car.
I was going to say,
cool.
They catch up on a lot of budgetary items
I'm
there.
I'm pretty sure the state library is going to be able to reinstate the Dewey Decimal System based solely on the tickets handed out at that alone.
Yeah, people don't realize, well, people here do because we know, but you know, if you miss that exit 38, you've got to go all the way down to D Avenue and then turn around.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite the turnaround.
That's a few miles out of the way.
A little. No. That's okay.
You know, when we tried to put up, we had some of those portable message signs.
Yes.
We had those up in advance even of stadiums, so people would hopefully they'd catch on before they got to Stadium Drive. We could take that exit and detour back around to West Main 40 or Westbound 43. But again, there's nothing we can do that's going to catch everybody every time.
Well, you know, we got to take your chances. It's construction season. What are you going to do?
Well. I've got a few answers to that, none of them which are politically correct.
Now, isn't the Stadium Drive 131 intersection due up for rebuilding coming up, too?
That is next year. Uh-huh. Oh, what a beautiful plug, David. Beautiful plug.
Thank you.
You're going to get hate mail now. You know that, don't
next
you?
Next year. Actually, people are really excited about this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll give you the whole story. First, let me start with the project. We're rebuilding the interchange, US 131 and Stadium Drive next year, and it's going to be say it with me, kids. SPUI.
SPUI?
Single Point Urban Interchange.
S-P-U-I. Oh, wow.
Like Westnage.
SPUI. Just like Westnage. Well, almost. The difference is Westnage goes under a 94,
sure,
and Stadium will go over the top. Oh. But it's the same configuration, so it'll have
one
entrance and or exit ramp in either direction.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
That gets rid of that. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really, it's weird. I feel like such a nerd. A fun project. but we had a public meeting a while ago in Oshawa Township. It had a great turnout. We had lots of folks from the neighborhood right there on Drake, just north of Stadium. Sure. Lots of the business owners showed up. Township folks were there. Great meeting, great engagement, and really got to talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, right down to drainage patterns and how that'll affect the lake right there just east of the southeast quadrant of that interchange. Lots of great conversation. My takeaway was, people are happy that we're going to try as hard as we are to maintain as much traffic as we can while doing this huge project. Unlike Westnage, it'll take 1 year, not two. We'll be able to do it all next year.
That was my question.
Yeah. I think you guys ought to put a roundabout in there. I mean, what the heck? Let's have some fun.
Jim, you remember that time about 5 minutes ago when I still liked you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just said roundabout.
I know. I know.
You want to talk about someone's going to draw fire quick.
So I was, Nick, I'm not, a fav- was I'm not in favor
no,
of those
we
either.
Don't, we don't like
I
no
was
way.
In Marshall. They know how to build a roundabout. That sucker's huge.
We love roundabouts, and I'll tell you why we love them. A traditional, you'll appreciate this, a traditional four-way stop intersection has 36 different conflict points between traffic and including pedestrians. 36 potential conflict points. You put in a roundabout, and that's reduced to 8.
I'm up for a roundabout.
But then you put actual traffic into it, and they don't know how to use the roundabout. And then
they're new, and there is a learning curve, as there is with anything. And fortunately, most people, when they're in their vehicle and they approach a new situation, again, I know this because I've done this. You approach a new situation, your instinct is to slow down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not speed up. Now I say this, and I'm going to bring another state in this conversation around Carmel, Indiana. They have roundabouts everywhere, and they're not one lane. They're not even two lane. We're talking three lane roundabouts.
Oh, jeez.
Where like imagine 131 crossing I-94 in a roundabout.
No, I like roundabouts, but not that well.
We're talking 5 and 6 lane highways intersecting at roundabouts. And the people in and around Carmel flow through those things like water through a hose. Hmm. They are in and out, and it's fast and it's efficient, and you don't get backups, and there's no crashes. People are happy. People are moving.
Wow.
Yeah, so it works. They work. They work in other places amazingly. And the few that we've installed now work amazingly as well.
Yeah, they do. The Matawan ones are actually pretty easy to get through.
I like the Matawan ones.
Yeah.
Well, good, because that's what we're doing to Sprinkle Road over 94.
Okay, that's cool.
I've done the ones on Howard. Those are about the ones I have most experience with.
Please fix that place underneath the bridge on 94. Man, we mean it's not you.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Howard.
Yeah, the Howard one.
Those city.
Those aren't ours.
Yeah, good luck there.
Those aren't ours. I wish they were.
Cool. Well, we'll talk to you as we get closer and closer, and then obviously when the project's done, then we can have a party and everything else, Nick.
I like parties.
Sounds like good. Well, hey, the fact that you've got northbound to westbound open is great, and people are going to love it.
We'll do a little victory dance.
Yeah, we can do that. All right. Nick Shirippa, MDOT. Thanks again, bud. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a good day.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks. All right. Nick is so much fun.
He's talking about the Carmel, Indiana roundabouts. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to pick out the tourists or the visitors.
Yeah. Because they're driving slower, and everybody else is like, hey, let's move.
Boom.
So we're thinking about throwing a party. Well, actually, we're not, but some friends of ours are. Maybe. For the governor, no less. The governor, no less.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO. It is a trifecta. I'm guessing you approve of this music?
You know the history behind this song, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
I do, too.
No, it's... I'm
all right, you want to enlighten him?
Yeah, please do.
Go ahead.
Well, they were rehearsing this song, the Beatles were, and it wasn't going very well, and they were having a little tiff, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And so, finally, John was like, oh, whatever, you know, screw you guys. And he was like, ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
And that's where it came from, and that's what we got.
The rest is history.
I'm telling you.
There you go.
Okay.
See, out of conflict comes a classic hit. It's good stuff.
Sports and music history.
I'm telling you, you are like a wide-ranging man. We're going to have to call you Dr. Music now, too?
No, that's about as far-reaching as my music history goes.
That's all right. Earlier this week, Wes Nakagira, Gary, thank you. I'm sorry. Nakagiri announced that he was going to challenge the lieutenant governor for his position on the Republican ticket. According to an article that Susan Demas has written, and she, of course, is of the Michigan Truth Squad when the election hits. She's a lot of fun. Under Governor Snyder, let's run through this laundry list here really quick. He's made it a right-to-work state, cut business taxes, made it harder for women to get an abortion, chopped employment and welfare benefits, banned gay partner benefits for public employees, and toughened up the citizenship requirements to vote. Why wouldn't Tea Partiers be happy with the governor? I mean, he's doing everything that they want, for crying out loud. So if that would be the case, where is it at? I also I have to make mention of the fact that he did that end run around the legislature to build a new bridge to Canada, so my buddy Marty,
what a maroon,
wouldn't do it. Anytime I get to play that, I'm very happy. So anyway, why wouldn't the Tea Party be happy with the governor? And if they're happy with the governor, why wouldn't they be happy with the lieutenant governor?
Well, I mean, the bridge is one. They are upset that we want to actually build some infrastructure and actually increase trade and grow the economy and build a second bridge, which is desperately needed.
I keep waiting for the other one to fall in the water.
Yeah. But there's one. There's several more. You can't satisfy people who will never be satisfied.
He says that Nakagiri wants to bring a much needed conservative voice to Lansing. I mean, the governor's been pretty conservative, given he kind of ran as a moderate.
And I don't know anybody more conservative than Brian Kelly, seriously.
Yeah.
I've been around a while, and he's pretty conservative.
Well, okay, from the opposite point of view here, do you think this guy has a chance to unseat the
I don't know. Kelly? It's done at the conventions here in the state of Michigan, so we shall see. Basically, it's going to be a replay of the chair fight they had last year for the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, where the Tea Party candidate barely lost in Bobby Strzok won. So I assume it's going to be a replay of that.
Mm.
And I don't know who will win, but I will not be there voting.
I was going to say, you going to go and watch?
Maybe. I'll follow it on Twitter.
Speaking of, you get some breaking news from Lansing there, Senior?
Just that one of the Republican alternatives to the Medicaid expansion has failed and only got 9 votes in favor of it.
Okay. So we don't know which one, though.
I don't know which one.
Well, we're keeping our finger on this. This is kind of the pulse on this because it's, first of all, they said they went into recess. Now, apparently, they've gone out of recess because they're doing something.
Well, I don't know.
So this is the Medicaid expansion.
You know, one of the things the Republican legislature did was get rid of the Michigan government TV so we can't actually see what's going on.
I know. It's
terrible.
No fun, man.
I'm a C-SPAN junkie, so I think it's awesome. So I was pretty disappointed.
Yeah, well, we'll have to keep our eye. And we've been in contact with...
The Senate Bill 422 was voted down with only 9 yes votes.
We'll find out which one that is.
Okay.
There are 3, and Randy Richerville said he was going to put all 3 up there. He put them on the agenda, so they're just going to go boom, boom, boom and try to figure out what's going on. I don't know if by the end of the day we'll know. I did happen to contact our state senator, Tanya Shoemaker, and they're busy, and she said that she could break free. She would call us and let us know. So we'll see. In the meantime, one of the 3 is gone.
Okay.
All right, CBS News is next. Local news to follow. We'll be back with Bob. Find out if we're going to get our nasty thunderstorms tonight or not. We'll find out. We shall see. And then we're going to talk about Syria. All that and more coming up. It is the trifecta. It is Carolyn. It is Dave. It is me on 590 WKZO. Reach out, touch faith. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO, brought to you in part by Bronson. the first hospital in the region to offer a new life-saving heart surgery. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/TAVR.
Jim, do I have to make PJ Fleck come in here and teach you that?
Yes.
No.
Row the boat.
Yeah, it's easier than that fight song. I had a week to learn the fight song. Row the boat.
Row the boat.
Row that boat.
Row the boat.
Row the boat.
Follow me on Twitter, please, coach. I've been tweeting so much, I'm down to 2% power on my iPhone, yes.
I'm following you now.
Did you find an iPhone charger?
Not yet. They're working on it.
Okay. I have a little bit. My charger's not a... But I'm going to have to put it on there today because it's going low. It's a stupid phone anyway. Michigan Senate Bill 422 was proposed by State Senator Bruce Caswell. So the Caswell bill is the one that's been voted down. Got only 9 votes, so it's 1 down, 2 to go. So I'm trying to remember, what was the name of the... Was that the senator that was the Tea Party?
Caswell? The name sounds familiar. He's from up...
maybe not. There was another one.
No.
There was another senator that was a Tea Party.
I know who you're talking about. That guy's from over in Detroit.
Okay, so that's the other bill that's still in
yep.
the play.
And
Medicaid expansion that Governor Snyder has mentioned. So those are the two that are still in the running. So we'll keep you up to date. If you don't know, the Senate Republicans returned. They are back in session. Then they went to recess. Apparently they're back in session again. Because they're doing something.
Or back in recess.
Or
maybe
back in recess. Who knows? But they voted one of the three Medicaid expansion proposals down, that being the one from Senator Caswell. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on. Okay. Thanks. I get it. I had something fun delivered to me. It's cool. I love it when that happens.
Good mail.
Mickey is really ruthlessly efficient.
He is.
He really is. Unbelievably.
Does he deliver your bills, too?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No. Just so you know, a little bit of, foreshadowing? We're going to talk with the provost at Western Michigan University, Dr. Timothy Steele, after the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Talk to him about some good news for Western. Talk about rowing the boat, baby.
Row the boat.
Woo-hoo! Good stuff. Tis good. And we're preparing to talk to Senior Bob about yon weather and find out exactly what's going on. And that's what we're going to do now. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jim.
I have Carolyn and Dave Pawlowski is with me. So it's a trifecta. It's just an interesting one.
Yeah.
But nobody in here really likes tropical weather, I don't think.
And why would you be talking about tropical weather?
Because it's like 92 freaking degrees outside,
exactly.
Bob.
Exactly.
And
as
I said yesterday, this is for me because of the dew point. I wouldn't mind a 90 so much. Well, what is it at the airport, though?
You know what? The temperature is 87.
All right, that's 5 degrees, though.
So we just barely made that range.
Well, you know this thermometer here. Yep. It's crazy anyway.
However,
the
dew point.
Oh, wait. You mean there's a...
But.
In there?
There is.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
74.
Oh, you are... No. Oh, it ain't happening.
That's nasty.
It is. It is. You know, even if I started playing this underneath it, it still doesn't make it nice, Bob.
That's not funny to you?
It's not funny to me,
Oh,
no.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, Bob.
The AccuWeather rear field temperature.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
99.
No.
Wow.
Get some air conditioning, Jim.
I got a fan on me now. I'm fine.
Oh.
But I'm going to have to go out that door at some point in time. And Dan Griffin, our chief engineer here,
mm-hmm.
he and I walked out the door and it was like, whew. Who turned on the humidity machine
sauna.
Here,
that
baby?
Would be a good word
sauna,
for today.
Yeah,
sauna.
That would be, but I bet it's not.
That's not the word. I actually got away from the nowcast, and this is just a general word for something that I wanted to address.
Yes.
The word is milestone.
Oh,
it's not
really?
Like we're playing password. The password is if you can remember
milestone.
That show, those
yes.
of us who are old enough. But anyway, milestone. How so?
Yeah, how so?
The average high temperature today, the 27th of August, has dropped to 79, the first time below 80 since spring.
Whoa.
We're a little bit higher than that, Bob.
So we've reached a milestone. So from this point forward here, as we go through the next several months, anytime we hit even 80 degrees, let alone 90, even getting to merely 80 is enough to put us above average.
All right. Huh. Well, it happens.
Right. So we are clearly above average now. What's the word for the next few days? What's going to happen? Well, obviously very hot and humid today. I think we're reaching our peak today. No sign of any cool weather for the next few days, but I think today's the peak of the heat and humidity. And there is a front, albeit a very weak, kind of a wimpy, cool front that'll cross the area overnight tonight and tomorrow morning. It very well, though, encountering this humidity can trigger a couple of showers and storms. There are actually storms right now in northern lower Michigan, up to our north, nothing around the immediate area. It's going to take a while before they come down. Initially, they'll probably go from the north and then east of us. But I think once we hit after 8, 9 o'clock tonight, we're in line for a shower or storm, at least scattered about. And then tomorrow, not as hot as today, but still, well, still humid. Mid-80s, maybe, probably upper 80s on the station studio thermometer.
Which is wrong.
And then tomorrow night, after lows that have been above 70 the past couple of nights, we'll at least drop into the mid-60s, so it'll be a little less muggy tomorrow night. Yeah. But still warm, still humid for Thursday and Friday, mid and upper 80s each day. As we close the week.
Now, you know, people love this weather going into Labor Day because it's the last unofficial
weekend
of summer. Right. If it's going to be that way, it ought to act that way. So,
yeah,
I'm sure there's
so
a lot
it is appropriate.
Yeah, you know, you can go to the beach and, you know, roast if you want.
I do think a more significant front across the area along about maybe Sunday.
Oops.
So once we get to Labor Day, it is cooler.
Okay.
So is that
cold,
is that
not chilly, not
my...
horrible, but there'll be a noticeable drop in temperature and humidity once we get to Labor Day.
I asked him this last time I was on when I hosted. When can I turn my AC off? You're telling me Sunday then?
Yeah, probably Sunday night.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I had to turn mine on. When I get home tonight, I'm going to have icicles hanging off the ceiling, I think. But the next front that comes through on Sunday, is that going to generate any kind of precipitation at all?
I tell you what, there's not as going to be as much moisture with it. It may not come together with much in the way of moisture.
At this point,
it may not have a lot going for it.
That's all right. That's okay. I'm up for that.
So I'm good.
Cool. Well, you know, one nice thing we have to look forward to is on Friday we'll get our geek moment for the first
time
in 3 weeks.
And it's going to be interesting because you touched on this yesterday. You know, the month as a whole has been very definitely cooler than average and remains that way certainly through early this week it was. But with all this heat and humidity, we're certainly taking a chunk out of that deficit. So we'll see where we stand once we get to Friday.
Yeah. But until then, we have Wednesday to discuss, and that's tomorrow.
And we do.
And tomorrow is another day.
Right.
So, all right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks,
Bob.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Take care.
Thanks, you too. All right. So apparently that rain that was supposed to come isn't going to come till overnight, maybe.
Okay.
I'm good for that.
It seems like last year we had all this heat and all this junk that started in March and April, and now we're getting it now on the tail end. This year, a little more typical, but at the end of the day, this is Michigan.
Yeah, it is.
Deal with
it. Yes, yeah. Thank you. That should be our motto. This is Michigan. Deal with it. Instead of if you seek a beautiful peninsula about your whatever it is, go for it or whatever it's called. I don't remember.
Stick around a few minutes. The weather will
I feel like more people around here think that we're tougher weather-wise than we actually are because as soon as it gets, you know, as muggy as it is or, you know, in December when, I don't know, it's supposed to be snowing, people are like, oh, my God, snow.
Well,
like,
you know.
Dude.
It's Michigan.
This is Michigan. Deal with it.
Our compatriot down the hallway here, Jay, loves the tropical weather.
I know.
I mind it. You know, I don't have to like it, but I know it's Michigan. It happens. I also know that I've been down south, and people don't know what humidity is up here. I've been in Georgia. Georgia's got humidity.
Oh, yeah.
Serious humidity. Not good.
Well, in like Texas, you can't be outside after 10 o'clock, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. That was one of my jobs in the Army. They have a Cat 4 heat alert come out, and that meant nobody could be outside doing anything. Guess what my job was?
To be outside.
Driving around in the Jeep to make sure nobody was outside. Yeah, that was one of my jobs.
With a kite and a key?
No. No, not that bad.
Oh, okay.
But you'd wonder. All right, I'll give you one.
There we go. Do it again. I got two of them today.
There you go.
Wow.
All right, count them up. All right, so the question is, did the U.S. go into Syria and kick butt and take names? That's basically the question.
It's looking more and more like that.
You know, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said today the United States is prepared to declare that chemical weapons have been used in a civil war. We are ready to along with our allies in Europe, to possibly aggressively respond to what the Syrians did. So the big question is, do we do boots on the ground? Do we do drones? What combination?
It.
What do we do? Do we go in there knowing full well that Russia's not going to do anything, that China's not going to do anything, that there's nothing really stopping us other than worldwide, you know, revulsion.
Blowback, you mean?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's a CIA term. That's a word that the CIA invented.
Blowback?
Actually. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do we do it?
It looks more and more like it, but I just hesitate to remind you that we haven't done any really boots on the ground. If you take the Iraq war out, just take that out. We all want to forget it. Let's deny it happened. Outside of that, when's the last time we really put boots on the ground? Outside of Afghanistan, when we were attacked on 9/11. Not very often. So it'd probably be more. Yeah, well.
That was 4 hours? Yeah, and
4 hours.
We were done, you know?
Well, it probably more look like Libya or Kosovo or Serbia.
No, wait a minute. Somalia, we had boots on the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And had some problems.
See, I did actually forget about that.
Somalia, yep. Lebanon. There's been a few.
Yeah.
And not very many of them very successful either. I mean, when we were in Lebanon, we got the Marine barracks got blown up.
Yep, I remember.
When we
that.
Were in Mogadishu, we had Black Hawk down, yep. And then we had bodies dragged through the streets to cheering crowds. I don't know how good we are at this anymore. But that is the question. Do we? And I mean, obviously, chime in if you want to at 382-4280 or 1-877-382-4280 or on 87 or at 80373. We did have one World War III, and we come. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, our fighting force is still the bravest men and women.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and, you know, the thing is that, you know, we're talking about this. Do we do it or not? You know, we have millions of young men and women in the military, and having been in the military before, you don't have a choice in this.
Sure.
When you take that oath, you go. That's it, guys. I mean, you go. They're very brave. They will do the mission if they have to. The problem is, are we prepared for this kind of mission? Are we prepared? Because the reason we're going in there apparently is because Syria is using chemical weapons on their people. What's to prevent them from using them on us? Seriously.
Well, I believe Syria is one of only like a handful of countries that have not signed the actual treaty banning the
apparently
use of
not,
chemical
weapons.
Apparently
not, because they're doing it. Yeah.
Hey, drones, you know, don't drone me, bro. Assad might be saying it soon. I don't know.
You know, I mean, UN chemical weapons inspectors were shot at. Yeah, well, I don't think Assad really gives a damn now,
they won't,
truth to tell. I don't think he cares.
They won't do anything while there's UN inspectors in the country. But like I heard they're coming home Sunday. So.
So this sets up the timetable? Is that
there
what you're
go.
Telling me? Okay. Russia, of course, is warned against any military intervention, but it would violate the military. What are they going to do?
Nothing. They've already apparently, from what Capitol Hill, what's going on up there, the Russians have already said they will not go to war to defend Syria. So at least that rumor is out there on Capitol Hill.
I bet Syria's happy there. So. I mean, the problem is, can we go in there and do what we have to do with general forces, or is this something that we're going to have to do with one of our elite groups, like a combination of the SEALs and the Green Beret and the Rangers and the special unit that the Air Force has and the Marine? I mean,
I don't know.
You know?
Don't know.
Raiders? Yeah. Is that the Marines? Well, Raiders, I think?
I'm trying to figure out. I think they're just called the Marines, actually.
Well, yeah, actually, it is just the Marines, yeah. All right, send 20 of them over there and we'll be all right.
I don't know
what the answer is. I mean, obviously, the answer to me would be no. I would prefer we don't go in there. But do we have a moral obligation to go in there? Are we going to act like the world's policemen again and get help from Europe and go?
Well, I did see David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, has called Parliament back into session tomorrow. So sometime late tonight, early tomorrow for us.
They're not on recess?
They are on recess. He's calling them back
into
session.
They get recesses too?
Yeah.
Oh,
but unlike our government, they'll actually consult with the legislature and make them vote on it before we actually
Carolyn,
go.
What do you think? Do we go?
We don't.
To
we
me,
have the War
it's,
Powers
it's,
Act.
It really seems like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a thing. Because half of the people are going to say, yeah, go ahead and do it and support it. The other half, you know, is going to scream and shout if they don't. So
And what do we do if we do? If we're going in there to eliminate chemical weapons, which would be considered weapons of mass destruction.
Yes, we've all heard that.
Yeah.
Where have we heard that term before?
Yes. I just don't know. I think you're right. It's a damned if we do and damned if we don't. I
allowed to say damned on the show?
Okay. Yeah. But you'll get the email. You can send the email to carolyn.binder@mwcradio.com.
Hearty damn.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, anytime. All right, so we have some sports news coming up.
Thank you.
Dr. Sports is going to stop by and give us some sad information about the Lions, other than the fact the Lions are sad.
Oh, ouch.
But I'm sorry.
Careful.
Yeah.
The season hasn't started yet.
I know. 590 WKZO. The trifecta brought to you in part by Bronson Children's Hospital. Walk in 5K run coming up September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. All right, Dr. Sports, you're up. We call Carolyn Dr. Sports.
Oh, that's me.
Because she, take it to the doctor, baby. I'm telling you. So what's going on with the Lions now?
News out of Allen Park. The Lions have cut Kickalicious.
Oh,
Harvard Rugland is no longer a part of the team. Can't say I didn't see it coming, but you know what? I think he's going to be around for a while because he was 3 for 3 on his field goal attempts from 49, 50, and 33 yards. And so he just needs to work on his form, I think, a little bit for the consistency's sake to make sure that, you know, he's a sniper.
Like, he'll catch on.
He'll
land somewhere.
So David Akers now the permanent kicker at this time for the Lions. And again, saw that coming, kind of read the writing on the wall once David Akers was signed after Harvard Rugland, like, okay, here's what we're going to do. But David Akers, he's not a spring chicken. I don't know how old he is, but he's, it's not like he's going to be, the next Jason Hansen here for 21 straight seasons. Right. He doesn't have 21 years left in him.
No.
So I think the Lions are secretly going to keep him in the backdrop. I think this is not the last time we've seen Kickalicious.
You know, Kickalicious is going to come back and bite the Lions in the butt. That's what's going to happen.
They should have kept Jason.
Jason retired.
All right, we're going to celebrate all things Western coming up. We're going to row that boat after CBS News and local news. That's coming up next. It is the trifecta. Let's
go! The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.